This morning I would like to preach some of the Lord being my helper from the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to begin in chapter 2 of the Ephesian letter. I suspect all of us here today are familiar with those before and after pictures. When people are advertising something and they want to show you what it was before you use their product and what you are after they use their product. You're all familiar with what I'm talking about. We see a lot of that, before and after pictures. When I was a young boy, somebody gave me Charles Atlas' program for building your body. I must have been 12 or 13 years old, and I was skinny and didn't have any muscles much. And I saw what Charles Atlas was before he did all those exercises, and then I saw him afterwards, and I thought, wow, I'd like to be like that. So I started working out. Sadly, I never did attain to what I would have liked to have been, but those before and after pictures sometimes can be deceiving. But this morning, the Lord being my helper, I want to show you all what we were before the grace of God came into our lives and what we are after the grace of God comes into our lives. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul describes what we were in Adam. In our human, fallen, sinful nature. And in chapter 2 and verse 1 of Ephesians, Paul says, "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Do you know that all of us by nature were dead in trespasses and in sins? "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature." Now listen to this. "We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Paul is describing here what we were as sinners in the human family. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And yet, we have here dead men walking. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, which is contrary to the way of God. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's what we were by nature. You and I were wretched sinners, dead in sin, walking hand in hand with the devil, and our conversation in times past, verse 3, "in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So before God's grace saved us, we were dead in sin. We were walking hand in hand with the devil. Elder Byrd used to talk about the fact that somebody said to him one time, I don't ever confront the devil. I don't ever meet the devil in my life. And Brother Byrd said, "Well, I guess not, because you're walking hand in hand with him." You know, you can't meet somebody that you're walking hand in hand with. And by nature, all of us were hand in hand with the devil. He was our buddy. He was the one having a lot of influence on us. We were walking according to the course of this world. And our conversation. What was our conversation? Well, it was in time past according to the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. By nature, we had a conversation that was not decent to be around, right? We would say things and do things that were just contrary to the will of God. And then he says that we were the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we were on our way to a devil's hell to experience the wrath of Almighty God. That's what you and I were by nature. And that's all of us. That's not just some of us. All of us in our Adamic nature were sinners and on our way to a devil's hell. That's before the grace of God. But now let's look. Let's turn back and look here in, let's look at verse 4 before we go back to chapter 1. But God, listen to what Paul would say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. How many of y'all are glad today that God is rich in mercy? What if God's mercy ran out? What would I do? What would you do? I'm going to tell you, that would be alarming, wouldn't it? But he's rich in mercy. His mercy will never run out. The Bible says his mercy is everlasting. It's new every morning. And so the apostle would say, but God, who is rich in mercy. Think about that. The God of this universe, the God who made heaven and earth and all things therein. What if he was a God that was always angry, always ready to judge us and find fault in us? What hope would any of us have? But I want to tell you, God is rich in mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, mercy. I love this story about mercy. Napoleon Bonaparte was a great military genius who ruled over France, and he conquered much of Europe during his lifetime, but he was a very strict military general. And anybody who defected in his army would be caught and put to death. And there was this man, this young man, who did defect, and he was caught. And the reason he defected was because he got word that his father had died and his mother was left in poverty. She was starving to death, and there was nobody to help her. No social nets, no social security, nothing. Just she was starving. So he defected and went to take care of his mother. He was caught and brought before Napoleon. And of course, it was understood that he would be put to death. But his mother finally got an audience with Napoleon, and she begged Napoleon for mercy. And Napoleon said to the mother, he doesn't deserve mercy. And you know what the mother said? She said, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. Now, I don't know the rest of that story. I don't know if Napoleon's heart was touched and he spared the young man's life. But I want to tell you, beloved, if God was like Napoleon, we'd all be lost. How many of y'all understand that today? How many of y'all understand what we were by nature? That we were wretched, hell-deserving sinners. You say, now, Brother Sam, you're surely not talking about me. Yes, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. Paul said in his letter to the Romans that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Whether it was Saul of Tarsus or John the Baptist, or James, or Epaphroditus, they're all sinners, and we're all sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great, what? His great love. Listen to that. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us when we became sweet little angels dipped in sugar. Is that when God started loving us? No. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So now Paul is talking about God being rich in mercy, and he's talking about his great love, wherewith he loved us. And I can tell you, I believe the most important subject in all the Bible for us to be able to understand is the love of God. His unconditional love. His great love. Loving us even when we were dead in sins. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and let's see what we are after the grace of God enters the picture. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, in verse 4, the apostle says, according as he hath chosen us, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Paul is looking back by revelation, by the Holy Spirit, by God enabling his mind. Paul is going out of time, back into eternity, before the foundation of the world. You all do know that God was around before the foundation of the world. God is eternal. He dwells in eternity. You and I are in time, but our God is eternal. And our God knew us and loved us and chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We gathered here at Cool Springs this morning to worship a great God. How many of y'all understand that? We don't worship a puny little God that's getting old and sick and senile. We worship an eternal being who is never changing. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And our God knew us before the foundation of the world, before the morning stars ever sung together, or the sons of God ever shouted for joy, before a wave ever came in on a timely shore in the mighty oceans, before the dust ever settled on the highest hills. God knew you, loved you, and chose you in Jesus Christ. Do y'all see who you are in Christ? You are chosen. If y'all ever get a revelation of this, you'll be a happy person before you know it. That God chose us. You might have been overlooked by ball teams. You might have been overlooked when they were choosing singers at school. You might have been overlooked when, they were trying to, and in a beauty contest. But I want to tell you, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And let me tell you, if God chose me to be with him in heaven, what else really matters in this broken world? Because I'm going to be with him when time is no more. That's what we are by grace. We are chosen. We are elected. The only people who don't love the doctrine of election are those who just don't understand it. They don't see their need of it. But when you see yourself in Adam as dead in sin, and you're walking according to the course of this world, and your conversation is full of filthy things, and you see yourself as lost in Adam, you'll rejoice in God's grace to know that he chose you before the foundation of the world. And then Paul goes on to say, we're not only chosen, but we are adopted into God's family. Our bodies are adopted out of Adam's pitiful family into God's glorious family. And someday our bodies will be resurrected to be with him in glory. And then in verse 7, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Did you know you and I have been redeemed? We've been bought back by the blood of Jesus, and we have been forgiven. Do you know what it means to be forgiven by God Himself? I appreciate people who forgive me in this life when I've offended them or hurt them. But I want to tell you, God has forgiven us. What if you and I stood in God's courtroom today? And He didn't need any witnesses because He knows everything about us there is to know. He knows every thought that we've ever had. He knows every deed we've ever performed. He knows every word we have ever spoken. He knows all about us. God is sitting on the throne. He's the judge. And you and I stand before Him. Now, if He's going to examine us in the courtroom of heaven, based on our life on this earth, none of us have any hope of going to heaven. I love this story. I probably shared this with you all before, but it's a true story. Brother Chris Taylor shared this many years ago. He's a prosecutor down in Vero Beach, Florida. And he told about this young girl who was in college, and she had been caught speeding. And they brought her in before the judge. And the penalty was going to be, I forget, maybe a couple of $100 or 10 days in jail. And she pleaded for mercy before the judge. And the judge said, look, I'm here representing the law. And the law says that you have violated our laws of speeding in our town. And the law says you've got to pay $100 or 10 days in jail. And she said, Your Honor, I don't have $100. I'm sorry I was speeding. And if I go to jail for 10 days, I'll fail the semester. And my parents have spent a lot of money to send me to college. And it'll all be wasted. And he looked at her. And he got up and pulled his robe off, his judge's robe off, and put on his street coat. And he walked around and stood beside the young lady. And he reached into his pocket and pulled out $100. And he laid it there where the money was supposed to be. And then he goes back around and takes off his street coat, puts on his robe, and looks at the girl and says, Lady, the law says that you've got to pay $100 or 10 days in jail. But, he said, I see somebody's paid your bill. Somebody's paid your fine. She was free to go. How many of y'all understand this morning, if you and I stood in God's courtroom, we would be in a lot worse condition than that young girl was. But thank God, Jesus Christ came down from heaven 2,000 years ago and said, Father, I'll take their place. I'll die for them on the cross. I'll pay their debt. How many of y'all understand this morning? I wish to God the Holy Spirit would bless me and you this morning to get a revelation of what went on at Calvary, Golgotha, The hill of skulls where our blessed Savior, the sinless one, went out there and our sins, our debt was laid on Him and He paid it in full. How many of y'all believe Jesus paid our sin debt in full? If He had just paid 90%, we wouldn't have had any hope of going to heaven. He paid it all. All the debt we owed. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's who you are now by the grace of God. You're chosen, you're redeemed, you are forgiven. Your sins have been put away as far as the east is the west. I tell you, there's a lot right here for us to rejoice in. Would y'all agree with me this morning? You are the children of God by grace alone. And then it gets better, because later on he would say that we are the heirs of God. We're going to heaven, in whom, verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Earthly inheritances can be a blessing, but I can tell you, beloved friends, earthly inheritances are corruptible, they're defiled, they fade away. But your inheritance in heaven is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It will never fade away. That's wonderful to think about, isn't it? That we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, we get so caught up here in time, in our daily work, our daily struggles, our daily conflicts, sickness, trouble, accidents, problems of all kinds, and sometimes we forget where we're going. You know where we're going? We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven by the grace of God, and that really ought to cause us to rejoice. You are the children of God. And if we're children of God, don't y'all think we ought to behave like children of God? I want to turn with you a moment here in Luke chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul, where our Savior, Jesus Christ, is describing to us how God's children ought to behave while we're down here on this earth. Let's look at verse 27. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus would say, "But I say unto you, which hear, love, now listen to this, love your enemies." Wouldn't that revolutionize the world if everybody just started loving their enemies? You say, "Now, Brother Sam, I can't love my enemies like I love my family." That's not what the word love means there. It's not talking about a friendship love. It's not talking about a romantic love like Emma and her husband showed us Friday night. This is an agape love. It's a sacrificial love. You love people by choice. You choose to love people even if they are your enemies. You say, "I can't do that." No, you can't in Adam, in the flesh. But in Jesus, you can. Did you know, as I read to you a moment ago in Ephesians 2, we were his enemies, and yet he loved us? And if you and I are his children, and we are born again, and we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we can begin to love our enemies in the sense that we want to do them no harm, and if we could help them in some way, we'll do it. You say, "Brother Sam, that blows my mind." Let me tell you, brothers and sisters and friends, there's the difference in a genuine Christian who is following Jesus and somebody who goes to church just with a little mask on and they're pretending to be a Christian on Sunday morning, but no, they're not following Jesus. Listen to what he says. He says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." Y'all don't seem excited about that. Come on, folks. Do you want to do good to those who despitefully use you? No, you want to get them back, don't you? And let me tell you, vengeance breeds vengeance. Vengeance begets vengeance. You say it's an eye for an eye, Brother Sam, in this world. Well, let me tell you, we'd all end up blind. It's not an eye for an eye. If you're a child of God walking in the steps of the Lord Jesus, you want to bless those that would persecute you. You talk about freedom. You talk about enjoying your life. You get to where you don't want to strike back. You don't want to hurt those that hurt you. You want to pray for them. And you want to help them if you can. That's Christianity. That's what Jesus... See, Jesus didn't just come to this earth and pay our sin debt so that we can live with him in heaven someday. I believe he came down here and showed us how to live the abundant life right now. Come on, folks. I think I told y'all the other night that Cool Springs, I was encouraging people to show a little more response while I was trying to preach. Brother Bob Lord said, "Brother Sam, you want me to just stand up and hold up two thumbs?" I said, "That wouldn't be a bad idea." At least I'd know that y'all are connecting with me and that you're getting the lesson. Listen, these are the words of Jesus himself. He came down here from heaven. He spoke as no man ever spoke. He was the greatest teacher of all time. Had infinite wisdom. And he's telling you and telling me to love our enemies. Whew. That's amazing, isn't it? I was on my way to Augusta one time on a hot July day to preach on a Sunday morning. I was all dressed up like I am now, and I had a flat tire out in the middle of nowhere. And I got out and pulled off my coat and was getting fixing to change that tire. And I was going to be dirty when that was all over. And all of a sudden, three young men pulled up behind me in a pickup truck. And I'm telling you, they didn't look like they were dressed to go to church. They looked rough to me, honestly. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm probably going to be robbed and beat. You know what? Those boys got out and changed that tire. Total strangers to me. Total strangers to me. They showed me more kindness and more love than some church people would have. And I tried to pay them. I'd have been glad to have paid them. They wouldn't take a dime. Now, what was that? Out of the goodness of their heart. I think I saw three boys who had been touched by the grace of God. They weren't hoodlums. They weren't, no, they were just good boys saved, I'm sure, by the grace of God. What would this world be like this morning without grace abounding? Are y'all with me? The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I believe this world is just full of God's grace. You and I just need to see it, and we need to live it in our lives. After that experience, I thought, now, if I see anybody with a flat tire, I'm going to try to stop and help them. I wouldn't be the best help in the world at changing a tire, but... And I was coming from Tennessee one time with a load of shrubs and gave out a gasoline just south of Atlanta, right on Interstate 75, about dusk. And why I gave out a gasoline was a dumb thing, I can tell you. Dumb. I wasn't watching the gauge like I should have. And I got out, car zooming by. The first car I waved at pulled over, went and got me some gasoline and brought it back. Are y'all listening to me? A total stranger. And I tried to pay him. And you know what he said? Just pay it forward. Pay it forward. That's amazing, isn't it? There's good people in this world. And you know why? Because of God's grace. You and I can't make them good or ourselves good. But God has worked in us. But you see, we've got a choice to make. Am I going to yield to my old sinful nature? Which we've all got, and we will have it till the day we die. We're going to be battling with it until we leave this world. Or am I going to follow in the steps of Jesus? Well, Jesus says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also. That is Christianity. Wars would cease if Jesus' teaching was being followed in our world today. Let me say this, brethren and sisters. If somebody visits Cool Springs Church, and we love visitors, don't we? I do. I see some here this morning. We're glad to have you. But after church, if y'all stand around and visit with the folks, and y'all hear them start criticizing other people, finding fault, and I suspect some of that goes on once in a while, knowing us. What are they going to think about our church? Are y'all listening to me? Or are we going to show them what Jesus wanted us to be? Are we nitpickers? You know, God made monkeys and chimpanzees. And I don't know if he didn't just put them on this earth to show us how funny we look when we start nitpicking one another. When I lived in Birmingham, I had an annual pass to the zoo. I had a grandfather's pass so I could take my grandkids. But I always loved going to the zoo. And one of the best attractions at the zoo was the monkeys. And they would nitpick one another. Have you ever seen monkeys nitpick one another? They sit around and just keep picking at one another. That's how human beings act. God probably put the monkeys on this earth to show us just how stupid you and I look when we're nitpicking one another and finding fault with one another. How many of y'all are good at it? Come on now. Just look around and see how you can pick your family, your neighbors, your friends, your deacons, your pastor. Whoa. Come on. Jesus said, don't do that. Overlook one another for good and not for evil. How many of y'all are good at that? I tell you, when your eyes are anointed by the Holy Spirit and you've got the grace of God in your heart, all of a sudden you'll start loving people that you didn't think you could ever love. Now, I'm not saying you got a warm, fuzzy friendship feeling for them, but you just feel for them. Three words we all should know very well is this: I don't know. I don't know what that brother's been through. I don't know what that lady's been through. I hadn't walked in their shoes yet. I don't know what all they've been dealing with. But I know one thing. They're human and they need my prayers and they need my kindness and they need my love. The pastor at the wedding, it was a very brief wedding. The ceremony is very brief, but brother, it was right to the point. And you know what the pastor's text was? I want y'all to tune in now and listen, because everybody that's married, y'all need this. Y'all ever think about getting married, you're going to need it. You all need it. Are you listening? From Ephesians chapter 4, Brother Green, Adam Green, was performing the wedding. And he said, be ye kind. He said, kindness is underrated in our culture. How many of y'all value kindness? Nelda's got a little ceramic thing on our kitchen window that says, be kind. I see it every morning before I get my coffee. And I need that more than I need my coffee. Be kind. How many of y'all are good at just being kind? How many of y'all love it when people are kind to you? I love it. Y'all can be kind to me all you want to. I appreciate it. I got a great capacity for receiving kindness. How many of y'all love it when people are kind to you? How about when God is kind to you? Now listen to the text. Be kind, tender-hearted. Let me tell you, if your heart ever gets hard, you are in trouble. The heart doctor can't help you. Don't let your heart get hard. No matter what's done to you, keep that heart tender. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Listen to that. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, Emma and Ethan were standing there. And they were dressed up. They were handsome and beautiful couple. They were dressed out. And here's a preacher standing up there with a Bible telling them, I want y'all to be kind and tender-hearted. What's that got to do with a wedding? It's got everything to do with it. I hadn't performed a wedding in years, but what I don't end it with that verse. Because I tell the couple, y'all gonna need it before the honeymoon's over. You know why? Because two sinners just got married. Are y'all listening? Two sinners just got married. Now what you gonna have? You're gonna have trouble unless you're under the influence of God's grace. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Listen, you and I are to be forgiving one another as God forgave us. And Jesus on that cross, stretched out between heaven and earth, nailed there by Roman soldiers, having been scourged and beaten by them and stripped naked and crowned with thorns and spit on. And now they've nailed him to this beam and lifted up from the earth and dropped it in a hole And you can only imagine physically what our Savior was going through. And yet, listen to him as his lips began to move. Look at him, beloved. See him this morning. If God would help me, I'd like to lift Jesus up where you can see him, your example. And he begins to pray and he says, Father, forgive them. Did y'all hear that? Father, forgive them. You said, but I'm not Jesus. No, but you're one of his children and you ought to be behaving like one of them. And when people come to our church, may they see Jesus in us. Would y'all agree with that? When they come here, they'll leave saying, you know, that's a loving people. I know they're sinners, but they really love one another and they made me feel loved. If y'all are a visitor here today, I hope all of you hang around long enough I can speak to you. I'd be glad to hug your neck and let you know you're welcome here. And I hope the people in the back will make you feel welcome. We want the Church of Jesus Christ to be a place where love flows from heart to heart and breast to breast. You are the children of God. Now go out and behave like the children of God. I'm going to close with this story. It's a true story. Many years ago, there was a preacher and his wife from Oklahoma who had gone to Gatlinburg, Tennessee on a vacation. They were stressed out. They needed some time off. And so they went to Gatlinburg just to be alone and to rest and recuperate. And they were in a little restaurant there in Gatlinburg and about to order a meal. And an old gray-haired man was walking around in the restaurant speaking to everybody and chatting with them. And the preacher leaned over to his wife and said, I sure hope that old man doesn't come to our table. But he did. He showed up. And he asked this man, he said, what do you do? He said, I'm a pastor. He said, a pastor? He said, he sat down at their table. He said, I got a story to share with you. He said, when I was a little boy, he said, I was born to an unwed mother. And he said, growing up in this town, he said, people, children would make fun of me. Children would mock me. They would call me dirty names. You know how children can be. Let me say to the children here this morning, if you're ever bullied in school, pray for your bully. Ask God to help you not to be affected negatively by it. Are you listening? Brother Mike Shepherd's son in Mississippi sent a text out recently. A young girl in their school took her life because she was being bullied. Bullying is wicked. It's evil. Usually the bully himself's got problems in his own life and mine. But anyway, this boy was bullied and made fun of by his classmates, calling him ugly names. So he would avoid going to restaurants or to the grocery store. He just didn't want to be around because people would make fun of him. And he'd go to church, but he always tried to get out before the service was over. But one day the preacher, a new preacher who had come there to pastor them, caught him. And said, son, who's your daddy? And the little boy's mind said, you don't mean the pastor himself would make fun of me. But the pastor had been told about the little boy, and then he realized what he had done. And he said, oh, I know who you are. You're one of God's little boys. And he said, you know, I would have never amounted to anything in my life if that pastor hadn't have told me I'm one of God's little boys. I want y'all to know this morning, you're God's little boys. And when he left, they asked the waitress, said, who was that old man? And said, oh, that was Governor Hopper. He became the governor of the state of Tennessee. Let me tell y'all this morning who you really are. You're God's children. You're on your way to heaven. I know we get caught up in this world. We look in the mirror and think, I'm getting old. I'm just nothing. But I want to tell you who you are. You're God's children. On your way to heaven. And I want y'all to leave here today acting like God's children. Loving people. Enjoying who you are in Jesus Christ. You know, I went to see Debbie. She sent word for me Friday afternoon to come up and visit her. And I was not well, but I got in the car and drove straight to their home up in Millage, on Lake Sinclair. And Debbie was, you know, she was a beautiful woman. They had a picture of her out in the vestibule when she graduated from nursing school. I mean, she was a beautiful young woman. She served in our Air Force for 4 years, had an incredible military service out in the cemetery for her. But when I saw her, she might have weighed 70 pounds. That cancer had taken a toll on her. She couldn't even keep both eyes open. She apologized because she couldn't keep both eyes open. And she said, Brother Sammy, would you preach my funeral? Well, I was honored to do that. And I saw what cancer had done to her body. And you know, we all got something going on. Did you know we're all going to die? Unless we're living when Jesus comes back, we're all going to die. But let me tell you, I had prayer with her and her husband and her mama. And I thanked God. This is not the end. That young sister will live again in a resurrection. See, you hadn't seen the finished product yet. Those of you who knew me before God dealt with me, you know I was pitiful. But I want to tell you, God's grace can save a wretch like me and you. And let's just live in the light of what God has done for us. Please, let's crucify the old nature, keep it under subjection, and try to love one another. Like the pastor told Emma and Ethan, be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Thank you all for your wonderful attention today.